holder system that we have in the back. If you're dropping off a card for somebody, make sure you put that family name on it or that person's name on it. Sometimes those cards get lost or they slip between the two folders, and without a name, we don't know where it goes. So make sure if you're dropping off those cards to put a name on it. Several sign-up sheets in the back. The holiday party, the adult holiday party, is a week from yesterday, December the 14th. And so if you are participating in that, there's, I think, three sign-up sheets back there still. There's one for attending, one for food, and then one for whether or not you're going to decorate a table for the party. And so if you're coming to that, please see those three sign-up sheets. Also, there's still two parts of the church building that are not accounted for on the cleanup sheet for this month. So if you're willing to do that, there's a sign-up sheet in the foyer. Please see that if you're willing to help out with that for the month of December. Holiday baskets. December 18th is the pickup date. I think we're past the day for names, but December 18th is the pickup date for baskets, for the Christmas holiday baskets. Two other holiday parties coming up. The kids party is on December 15th, the week from today, and the teen Christmas party is December the 19th. And then lastly, December 22nd will be our caroling fellowship on that Sunday evening. And so those are several events we've got coming up related to the holidays. Please be aware of those. With that, let's have a word of prayer and begin our worship service this morning. Father God, thank you so much for the opportunity we have this morning to get together, Lord, to spend time with each other, to study your word. Lord, now as we move into this worship service, we pray that those that are leading this service, those that are standing up before this crowd, Lord, would speak, that you would speak through them, Lord. The things that they say, the things that they do would be from you and would glorify you, Lord. We pray that you would be with them and that you would strengthen those that are leading this worship service. Lord, we pray that you'd be with those of our number that can't be here today. We pray that for whatever the reason, you bring them back to us. Lord, we thank you most of all for the gift of your Son. It's in his name that we pray, in Christ's name.
Good morning, good morning. Before we get started this morning, if you made the coffee this morning, I just want to tell you that I greatly appreciate you. Because I woke up a little late this morning and didn't get to make my coffee, and so I needed it. You say me, thank you very much. I once was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in, and then a little light from heaven filled my soul. It made my heart in love and wrote my name above, and just a little talk with Jesus made me whole. Now let us have a little talk with Jesus. Let us talk about our troubles. He will hear our faintest cry, answer by and by. Feel a little prayerful yearning, heart into heaven is turning. Find a little talk with Jesus makes it right. Very good. I may have doubts and fears, my eyes may be with tears, but Jesus is a friend who watches day and night. I go to him in prayer, he knows my every care, and just a little talk with Jesus makes it right. Let us have a little talk with Jesus. Tell him all about our troubles. Hear our faintest cry. Answer by and by. Feel a little prayerful yearning. Heart into heaven is turning. Find a little talk with Jesus makes it right. Very, very good. Just be forewarned, there are two versions of this song. This one's a little bit more upbeat, okay? This is not the slow one, this is the faster one. Here we go. Guide me, O that great Jehovah, pilgrim through this burdened land. I am weak, but thou art mighty. Hold me with thy powerful hand. Bread of heaven, bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Feed me till I want no more. When I tread the verge of Jordan, bid my anxious fears subside. Bear me through the swelling current, land me safe on Canaan's side. Songs of praises, songs of praises, I will ever give to thee. I will ever give to thee. Very good.
Good morning, everybody. Today's scripture is from 1 John chapter 1, 5 through 7. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Would you bow with me, please? Dear Lord, we thank you for this time we get to spend with one another this morning, and may this message that Mr. Eric brings to us bless us, and that we can carry it forward. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
This will be the song before the Lord's Supper. King of my life, I crown thee now, thine shall the glory be. Lest I forget thy thorn-crowned brow, lead me to Calvary. Lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget thine agony, lest I forget thy love for me, lead me to Calvary. Show me the tomb where thou wast laid, tenderly mourned and wept. Angels in robes of light arrayed guarded thee whilst thou slept. Lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget thine agony, lest I forget thy love for me, lead me to Calvary. May I be willing, Lord, to bear daily my cross for thee, even thy cup of grief to share, thou hast borne all for me. Lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget thine agony, lest I forget thy love for me, lead me to Calvary.
Very well done. Good morning. In all my years that I spent in broadcasting, radio, and television, I met a lot of celebrities, and some of them, a lot of great ones, though. Nature of the beast. Well, back in 1988, I was working at a radio station in Memphis, Tennessee, and I had just won the Academy of Country Music Award for the best country radio personality in the United States. And I had a visitor come by the station, brought me a copy of his book, and he signed it, God Bless Bruce Goff, Jim Tabor. Number one, congratulations, Jerry Clower. Now, a lot of us more refined people remember who Jerry Clower is. Y'all probably have no idea who Jerry Clower is.
But he was from Route 4, Liberty, Mississippi, and one of the few comedians that actually professed God in his life and was not afraid to talk about it. He tells a story about visiting with a Brother Yates up in Yazoo City, Mississippi. And there was this big Kentucky fan that come up there and says, Brother Yates, said, would you please pray for Kentucky to win this game? And the preacher said no. He said that, I don't think God cares who wins the game. So he said, well, if you want to pray for somebody to not get injured or something like that, that's different. Matthew chapter 26, during the Last Supper, they were eating. Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take it, eat, this is my body. Took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it. This is the blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit until the day when I drink it new within my Father's kingdom. And when they sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. And of course, on further down is whenever they went to Gethsemane. And Jesus took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and went into the garden to pray while he left the rest of the apostles alone. And he came back, they were all asleep. So he went back, he did this three times, and he prayed to God to lift this burden from his shoulders. And when he came back the third time, that's when the priests and Judas came and laid their hands on him. And one of the disciples or servants smote one of the priest's ear off. And Jesus says, stop. He says, I don't need you to do this. I could ask for 12 legions of angels to come and protect me. But I don't need to. Yeah. Do you know how many are in a legion? I had to look it up. How the Romans sent out their soldiers. One legion was about 5,000 to 6,000 soldiers. So you're figuring he could request 60,000 angels to come protect him, but he didn't, because he prayed to God and God decided this is your way. So when you take the communion this morning, remember the sacrifice that Jesus made, that God sacrificed his own son, that we may have hope for eternal life. Would you pray with me, please? Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we think back on that day when Jesus gave his life on the cross for us, and he told his disciples to eat the bread that which represented his body and drink the wine that represented his blood, that we may have hope for eternal life. And as we partake of this, may we do so that be pleasing unto thee. In Jesus' name, amen. We are blessed with so many things in our lives. Some things we take for granted. If you think about it sometimes, you can drive along the coast and see homeless people. I see them every... I work part-time at Memorial Hospital for security on Saturday mornings from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. I see a lot of homeless people come through there. And knowing that they can't stay there, there was a couple this past yesterday that I had to send back out. I hated to, but that's just their rules. So when you're sitting at home or you're driving down the road in your car, think of how blessed you are. And at this time, we take that opportunity to return a portion of that which God has blessed us with, so the work of the church can continue, we can help those that are in need. Pray with me, please. Our Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your blessings that you bestow upon us in our everyday lives. There are so many of those that are not as blessed as we are. We ask you to watch over them. Keep them. May the things that we give for you be used to further thy word and to bring others to Christ. In your son's name we pray. Amen.
You know, it's a tremendous honor to be able to stand up before the Lord's church and do really anything. Be presiding over the Lord's Supper, leading, singing, delivering a message. But I'm here to tell you, can I be real? It's nerve-wracking standing up in front, up here. It really is. How long have I been leading singing? Since college? Before college? And that was years ago. And I still get nervous up here. I have music degrees and all that mess, but guess what? You think that helps? No, the Lord does, though. So, this is what I'm going to ask you. We have one of our brothers who are about to come up here and give us a message. I would ask everybody to stand up, open up them pipes if you're willing and able, and be an encouragement to our brother before he comes up here. Now, this one, it's okay to swing just a little bit, okay? Here we go. As I travel through this pilgrim land, there is a friend who walks by me. Leads me safely through the sinking sand. It is the Christ of Calvary. This would be my prayer, dear Lord, each day to help me do the best I can. For I need thy light to guide me day and night. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Yes, I need thee every hour. Through this land, this pilgrim land, by thy saving power, clear my plea, my feeble plea. Lord, dear Lord, look down on me when I kneel in prayer. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. When I wander through the valley dim toward the setting of the sun, lead me safely to the land of rest if I a crown of life have won. I have put my faith in thee, dear Lord, that I may reach the golden strand. There's no other friend on whom I can depend. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Yes, I need thee every hour. Through this land, this pilgrim land, by thy saving power, hear my plea, my feeble plea. Lord, dear Lord, look down on me when I kneel in prayer. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Very good. Thank you, Altos.
If I could echo what Nick said, it doesn't get any easier. Whoever said that is kind of a liar and may need to come forward this morning. But I will say one thing that helps as I stand up here is I get to prove my wife wrong this morning. So when we started dating a long time ago, she said there were two types of guys she would never marry. One was someone in the military and one was someone that was preaching. So, I don't consider myself a preacher, but I think this is enough to say that I won an actual conversation, an actual argument. So, here we go. That's Eric won, Amber about 9,342,000. Whenever I get the privilege to come up here and stand before you guys, whether it's a class or in a situation like this, if I'm not given a topic to specifically stick to, I'm pulling something out of my head, something that I have been either struggling with or something that I have been studying recently. And so this morning, what I decided, what I landed on when I went through all the things that I was studying is I landed on our walk with God. And all of us as humans, we all walk. We've all walked before. That's something that we all know. We know in the Bible when Jesus was telling parables, and my clicker's not working on. There we go. Hopefully it doesn't catch up and just speed fast forward. Anyway, so when Jesus was telling stories, things that we didn't quite, weren't going to be able ready to grasp the concept yet, he would tell us a story in a parable, which is an earthly story that has a spiritual or a heavenly meaning. The more that I study, the more that I look, I see that we have parables in real life all around us. There's things that God has put on this earth that teach us a lesson without him even having to say it. In the Old Testament, God instituted kings and kingdoms and rabbis and priests and sacrifice and worshiping. And then in the New Testament, we learn about the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven, and that he sent us a perfect rabbi and the most high priest who became a perfect sacrifice in Jesus so that we can live with him forever. So walking with God, our walk with God, is a parable that we see every day in real life. There are many, many, it is on. There we go. So Enoch walked with God. Like I said, there's too many examples to pull out every time it says someone walked with God. If you look at pretty much any introduction to someone in the Bible, if they are a major figure, it says, you know, they walked with God, or they did not walk with God, or they did not honor God. But Enoch, it says here that Enoch walked with God. This is one of the things of walking with God that has always stuck in my head since I was a very little child and first heard the story. If you look in Genesis 5, verses 21 through 24, it says, when Enoch had lived 65 years, he became the father of Methuselah. And after he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked with God for 300 years. And he had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Enoch lived 365 years. Enoch walked with God. Then he was no more, because God took him away. And then if you turn over to the Hall of Faith chapter in Hebrews 11, Hebrews 11, verses 5 and 6, it says, by faith Enoch was taken from life, so he did not experience death. He cannot be found because God has taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. In Genesis 6, 9, when talking about Noah, it says, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in generation. Noah walked with God. Leviticus 26, 12, and I will walk among you, and I will be your God, and you will be my people. Micah 6, 8, he has told you, O man, what is good, what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God. Colossians 2, 4, therefore as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. 1 John 2, 6, whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way which he walked. When we read the New Testament, we see all of the apostles who got to walk, physically walk with God in the flesh as Jesus here on earth. They got to witness, they got to build a better relationship with Jesus, with God here on earth. As you go through the Bible, Jesus even uses walking with him and walking through the paths as examples, as parables here. It says, Matthew 7, 13 and 14, it says, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. And many enter through it, but small is the gate, narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. So if you look at the picture here, this is something I just pulled off the internet, and I have to warn you, you're going to see a lot of pictures this morning, because pictures are one of the ways that I associate with principles and philosophies that I don't quite understand. And I'm a simple guy, and simple books have lots of pictures, so that's what you're going to get this morning. So you see in the picture, you see the few people that are walking through the narrow gate towards the light, towards God, towards eternal life. And then you see the wide gate, which leads to fire and an eternity separated from God. In Luke 13, 24, it says, strive to enter through the narrow door, for many, I tell you, will seek to enter and not be able. Another way our walk with God is depicted is walking in the light. This is the passage that Ben read for us this morning. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. We claim to fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness. We lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. This picture here really didn't exactly kind of tie in with the way that I feel I viewed my walk with God, especially for a large portion of my life. This more narrowly represents what I thought. It was a narrow path that, you know, there's darkness all around you. There's a narrow shaft of light, and you have to walk in that, and you have to be looking at your feet to make sure you don't step into the darkness, step into the shadows. You don't want to veer off right or left. And as I think about walking with God, obviously the inverse pops into my head. And this is where I've kind of landed on in my personal study, and you'll see some pictures later why it's been even more solidified. But what happens when we walk away from God? What does it look like when we leave this narrow path and we get on the wide path, and we leave the light and walk in the darkness? Well, luckily for us, luckily for me especially, in Luke 15, the entire chapter, Jesus tells three different parables about things that were lost and how they were found again. It's a very long chapter. For the sake of time, I'm not going to try to read all of it. I'm going to paraphrase the parables, and then if I leave something out, I'm going to come back to it. So we'll talk about each different parts of each of the parables as we go through. The first, this is the picture that Don has been showing us quite a bit lately, and this is one of the things that intensified my studying into this, my looking into this. The first is the parable of the lost sheep, where a shepherd has 100 sheep. He looks up and he realizes that he only has 99. One of them is lost. And so the shepherd leaves the 99 and searches out the one lost sheep. And when he finds that lost sheep, he brings him back into the safety. That sheep is in danger until the shepherd picks him up and takes him back to where he's supposed to be. I think when we look at this parable, I think we understand that we are the lost sheep. Whenever we have walked away, wandered away from God, we are the lost sheep. And this parable explains and just solidifies to us that it's not about the 100. God cares enough about the individual that he is willing to seek out and search for that one individual. And I think we look at this and we identify that one out of 99 is me. It is you. That's what we take away from this parable. The next is the parable of the lost coin, where a woman has 10 silver coins. She loses one, and she basically tears apart her house searching for her lost coin, because when that coin is lost, it is useless. It's not where it's supposed to be. There, nothing can be done with that coin while it is lost. When we look at this parable, I think we kind of associate with, yeah, we have been the lost coin at times in our life. And this shows the amount of sacrifice, the amount of work that God is willing to do to bring us back into the fold, to find us again. The final parable is quite a bit longer. It's about a father that has two sons, and one of his sons, his younger son, comes to him and says, I can't do this anymore. Give me what is owed of me. Give me my inheritance. I am leaving. So the father reluctantly gives him about a third of his fortune. About a third of the father's wealth would be transferred to the son. And the son basically separates himself from the family. The son becomes dead to that family as he walks away. His family is dead to him. He is giving up all the rights, all the privileges, all the benefits of being in that family as he walks away. He walks away and the Bible says he walks to a foreign land or to a faraway distant land. And he squanders his money. He gets there, he uses all of his money, and he runs out of food. And he gets to the point where the only thing he can do is feed the sheep, or feed the pigs. And he finds himself longing after the food that the pigs get. So the Bible says he comes to his senses. He hits rock bottom. comes up with a plan. Okay, I'm going to go home. I'm going to apologize to my father. I'm going to tell him I don't deserve to be in his family, but I'm going to ask him if he'll at least take me back as a servant, because the servants of my father's family don't have to worry about food. So he comes up with this plan, and he starts the long trip back. And you know the trip back was harder than the trip out there, because he doesn't have any money. He has nothing to make this trip back easier. So he makes this long trek home, and when he gets home, Jesus says that the father was standing at the edge of the property looking for his son and sees him coming from a long way off. And his father runs to him, and before the son here, it's called the prodigal son, before the son can even get his entire speech out, the father forgives him, kisses him, puts sandals on his feet, puts a robe around him, takes the ring, which would be the family ring, which would basically symbolize him being back in the family, having the rights and the privileges of the family again. So when I look at these three parables and I look at these three things that were lost, the first thing that kind of stands out to me is that they show three different kinds of people who are lost. In my mind, and once again, if we can have the world according to Doyle, we'll say the world according to Eric, I see the coin as something, you know, it's an inanimate object. The coin did not get itself lost. The coin didn't grow legs and walk off. The coin had no clue that it was lost. As much as we like to say, the coin did not walk back. Then we have the lost sheep. The lost sheep, to me, represents someone who gradually falls away, gradually walks out of his walk with God. The lost sheep is someone who just ventures into the darkness just a little bit, and every so often gets just a little bit further and further away from the light. The sheep could also be someone that was chased off by a predator, someone that the sheep could have been lost because in the chaos of the running away from the predator realizes that it's lost. It's in danger. It does not have safety. And then you have the lost son, and this is someone that chose to walk away from his father, chose to give up the benefits and the rights and the privileges of being in his father's family. And sadly, I think all of us know someone who fits into one of these categories. Sadly, I think all of us have fit into this category at some time in our lives. So how do we get back to God? How do we get back to walking with God when we are lost? One of the things I think as we walk away from God, we realize that our sin separates us from God. Nothing that we can do closes that distance. Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. In John 15, 6, if anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. Once again, goes back to the picture we looked at earlier about the wide path that leads to the fire and the brimstone. So our sin separates us from God. Nothing we can do can close that distance. And this is where I think our human thoughts, our human mentality kind of gets it in our way here a little bit. Because if I'm standing here and I want to walk out that door, I'm going to take the 20, 25 steps to get to that door. Well, to get back here where I'm supposed to be right now, for a human, it takes us those 20, 25 steps to get back to where I am, where I'm supposed to be. The good news about that is that Jesus made that walk back for us. Jesus, when he became the perfect sacrifice, he took on our sins, and he took them to the cross. So our walk back does not involve the 25 steps that it took to get there, or however far you get away from God. One of the things that I have kind of shifted my thinking in this is walking away from God, for me, is the same as turning away from God. But I like the phrase turning away from God instead of walking away from God, because my human brain, when I turn around, I'm right back where I'm supposed to be. If I walk away from God, I can't walk those 25 steps back here. But if I turn away from God, it doesn't matter if I've gone one step or if I've gone 1,000 steps or if I've gone 1,000 miles. When I turn around towards God, He's right there. One of the phrases that I'm hearing more and more recently is, God meets you where you are. And that's one of the things that I think, for me, helps me understand that it's nothing that I do that gets me back to God. When I turn back to God, Jesus has already done the walking for me. Jesus has closed that distance for us, and it's not something we have to do. And that's not something we can do. I think that's one of the things that the devil likes to whisper in our ear when we have turned away or we've walked away from God. The devil likes to say, but you're so far gone. You've been gone too long. Tell a quick story. When I was in college the first time, when I was 19 years old, I enrolled in college algebra, and I did not like college algebra. So one day I didn't go. And then I went back, and it was kind of awkward when I came back after missing a class. And so the next week, I got bored again, so I didn't go. And then the next day, I didn't go. And then when I came back, it was kind of awkward. It was, well, you've been gone for so long, you've missed so much. And it got to the point where after I missed three or four classes, there's no point going back. I was too far gone. That's what the devil likes to whisper to us when we have walked away from God, when we have turned away from God. You can't close that distance. And in that, he is correct. We can't close that distance. Jesus has closed that distance for us. So Jesus made the walk back for us when he died on the cross. Only God's perfect forgiveness will allow us back. If you look at 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. I think this is backed up in the parables that we have discussed this morning. That sheep was lost. That sheep was in danger. That sheep did nothing to get back to God, to the shepherd. That coin, obviously, as much as our kids like to tell us, you know, they didn't just grow legs and walk off. Coin didn't grow legs and walk back. And then the prodigal son, even when he hit rock bottom and he came up with his plan, he was still separated from his family. He was still dead to his family. He came up with his plan. He walked all the way back, and you know he was rehearsing that speech the entire way back. When he gets back, he's still lost. He's still not part of that family. Even when he starts to give his speech, he's not part of that family. He's not part of that family. He doesn't have the benefits, the privileges, or the rights of that family until the father accepts him back and puts the robe and the ring and the sandals on. So this picture here, the dirty sheep is what started to pique my interest and get me kind of wrapped up in this, because I think a lot of times, and this is where Doyle started to talk about in class this morning, which I had to stop him because he was getting into what I wanted to talk about. But you look at that dirty sheep, and you know right now that sheep is dirty, probably bruised, maybe even scraped, maybe even cut from either running from the predator or his time walking away from the shepherd. That sheep is in danger. The second that shepherd picks him up, that sheep is not in danger anymore. But they're still going to have the mud, still going to have the bruises, still going to have the physical scars of being lost. When we talked about the lost coin, we've discussed this before, but the lost coin does not just represent a tenth of the of that woman's income or a tenth of her wealth. It actually would represent a tenth of her dowry. In these days, women would come into marriage with a dowry, with some sort of gift, some sort of financial support that they came into the marriage. And they would often have a representation of their dowry on their heads. So when the guy walks through the market, he sees eligible young women, he can kind of look and kind of pick out which one has the dowry that he thinks he deserves or thinks that he can get. I see a lot of women shaking their heads right now. Luckily, that is not the system that we have anymore. But when that woman finds that coin, if you look here, that coin is not going to have been shined. That coin is not going to be jewelry ready. It's where it needs to be. It was brought back, but it still has the consequences of being gone. And then the prodigal son. This is the part of the part of the son that I didn't talk about. When the father welcomes the son back in, the older son develops a really bad case of what about me's. He's jealous and he says, you know, why don't I get anything like this? I've never left. Why don't I? That son is, the prodigal son is going to have fractured relationships in this life. He is welcome. He is part of the family again. He has the rights and the privileges of being in that family. But he's not going to have all of the perfect relationships that he had before. Can you imagine any time the prodigal son walked into his dad from then on out and said, you know, Dad, I was thinking. I can just see the dad tensing up because he knows, he's scared that the son is going to ask to go away again. So we walk back to God. The spiritual consequences are gone. We are safe. We are where we are supposed to be. Our sins have been wiped clean, but the earthly consequences don't go away. We should never question God's forgiveness. This is another thing that the devil likes to whisper in our ears. Okay, if God really forgave you, then you wouldn't be dealing with this. You wouldn't be dealing with the consequences of your sin. Your life would be easy if God forgave you. If you were where you were supposed to be, God would have forgiven you and you wouldn't have these consequences. I can't tell you how many times as a child and as an adult as well, getting caught in something I wasn't supposed to be doing and saying that prayer, you know, Lord, if you just get me out of this, if you just get me out of the trouble, I'm straight and narrow, I'm back on the path, you got it, I'm here forever. That's not how God works. God is going to forgive us, but then we are still going to have the earthly consequences of our sins. Those earthly consequences of our sins are going to take a while to go away. Some of them are never going to go away. Some of them are going to follow us around until we die. But I can tell you, being with the Father, walking with God, makes those consequences quite a bit easier to handle. If you look in Psalms 103:12, as far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. Hebrews 10:17, I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more. Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Our spiritual consequences, when we turn back to God and we ask for his forgiveness, he is just to forgive us. The next verse I took a little liberty with. I do not like when people take verses out of context. And the next verse I'm going to show you is actually from a completely different spot of the Bible. It is not talking about God's forgiveness. It actually comes from when Peter was on the rooftop and he had the vision, when God was opening up the kingdom of heaven to Gentiles. When he was opening up the kingdom of heaven to us, he presented Peter in the vision with the sheep of the unclean animals and told him to eat. And Peter, being Peter, kind of pushes back on him, says, no, those are unclean. But Acts 10:15, and the voice came to him again the second time, what God has made clean, do not call common or unclean. This is something that I've had to remember when the consequences of my life, the consequences of my sin catch up and the devil starts to whisper, you know, he really didn't forgive you. What God has made clean, do not call common or unclean. We should never question God's forgiveness. We should never question the sacrifice that Jesus made for us in order for us to be forgiven and to be found when we are lost. The last thing I didn't talk about in each of these parables is each one of these parables ends in a party. If you look at Luke 15:6, and when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, rejoice for me, for I found my sheep that was lost. 15:9, when she has found the coin, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I have lost. And then the father speaking to his servants, and bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they begin to celebrate. Every time a soul that is lost is found and comes back to God or comes to God, there's a celebration. I love when someone is baptized here and you hear the claps and the cheers, because once again, how this is the things here on earth are just a shadow of what's going to be in heaven. Can you imagine the party that's going on? Like these are things when the Son is found. From being dead to being alive again. And that is something that God does for us. And it's going to be a party. And I tell you, I can't wait for the day that we get to that final party, because that party is going to last eternity. And we're all going to be perfect. Our worldly consequences are going to be gone. There's going to be no more strained relationships, no more cuts, no more bruises, no more sin that has been following us around, no more consequences that have been following us around for the rest of our lives. That ultimate party is what we saw in the picture with the light on the narrow path. I don't know where you are in your walk with God. I don't know if you've just skirted off into the darkness, or if maybe you're like the coin and you've never been baptized, you've never experienced being in God's family, never experienced being in the benefits and the things that God, being in God's family, can give us. In a few minutes, Nick is going to come back up and lead us and call the invitation prayer. If there's any reason that you need to come forward today, if there's anything that you need the elders to pray with you about, if you need the church to pray with you, please come as Nick comes up and leads us in a song.
I am weak, but thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from the wrong. I'll be satisfied as long as I walk, dear Lord, close to thee. Walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Life is o'er. Time for me will be no more. Guide me gently, safely o'er to thy kingdom shore, to thy shore. With thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be.
We have a seat. If I may, I want to tell you.